Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. I believe number 6, Jay, if my counting is correct. And let me tell you, if I got that right, it's luck, because I am at the point in spring training. I don't know what day it is. I don't know how many days are left. But I do know that I'm in Maryvale, which is not nearly as nice as it sounds. Little suburb, which is way too generous, of Phoenix. But the Brewers facility is beautiful, remodeled. It is absolutely fantastic. And the Padres play here today, and I'm very, very excited because Matt Strom gets his first start. Because they've been putting him in later in games, and they wanted to give him a start because in spring training, that's when you're going to face the really good hitters for the most part. And then after him comes Eric Lauer, who's only really, since his first Cactus League start, he's only been on backfields where he's been working on some different things. So, I mean, this is a big day in terms of the Padres starting rotation, which we're going to spend a lot of time talking about. How are you, Jay?
I'm fine, Kevin. You're so excited. I can't even remember. Did you even introduce what we're doing here? I believe I'm Jay Poster. I'm the sports editor. You're Kevin Acey. You're the beat writer. I was thinking the other day that this thing just goes on and on, and we've been working on the special section this week, and you just filed this long cover piece, which I think people will find very interesting when it comes out, not this weekend, but next weekend. We'll have a 24-page baseball section in the paper on the 24th of March, and, of course, also online.
My story only took up 12 of those pages,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. I think we might have cut it down to 10. But I was just thinking, like, this thing just it's been so long, and spring training hasn't even ended, let alone the six months that we have the season. So I know at this point you've got to be dying to get out of there and get on with the season. I know, I'm sure fans are. I know I am. I'm always tired of spring training or training camp or whatever sport it is, whatever you call it. And by this point, it's like, let's just get on with the season already.
Absolutely. And I will say it's different. I'm wondering how you're observing it. Here's where it's different for me, and I will use it as a segue to get into the starting pitching, because it's really the big question. Like, I'm excited to watch more good baseball. A, not a fan. I'm the guy who tells, you know, fans about the team. But what I do is I watch a lot of baseball. I watch a lot of this team. So I'm excited about this season because I think it's virtually guaranteed, as much as you can have with human beings, that the Padres will be a more fun, a more quality, a better team to watch this year. I don't know what that will mean in the standings, and a lot of that has to do with the very, very young starting pitching.
Right, and I agree, and that's part of the reason why I just want to get on with the season, because it's like, okay, we keep reading about what's going to happen with this group and that group, and it's like, all right, let's just see what happens already. I mean, there's no question the Padres should be more interesting. I mean, I kind of thought that last year, and I still think, even though the record was terrible, I do think it was more interesting than the previous year. But this year, it should not only be more interesting from just a fascination standpoint, but from a win-loss standpoint. I mean, the game should be better. The team should be better. In theory, that makes for better games and hopefully more excitement around town. And people seem to be more excited about this team, you know, this year than in the last several years, probably. Maybe the 2015 team, I guess, when that started, people were excited at least for a little while, and then the season got going and it quickly waned. But hopefully this will, you know, I still don't think, and you know, this is a situation we get into more right when the season starts, but, you know, Vegas still has the over-under for this team at 78.5. So you're still looking at where this might not even be a winning team, but it's just been so bad here for so long that if they can just keep it interesting for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it might be. I mean, obviously the longer the better, but just so that, like, by the end of April, you don't feel like, oh no, we still have 5 more months of this. You know, you want to feel like there's some excitement and there's reason to look forward to seeing games in July and August and that sort of thing. So anyway, that's a long way off. A lot of it's going to depend on the starting pitching. There's a lot of candidates. A couple of them got beat up in their last starts. Logan Allen over the weekend, Robbie Erlen last night. Where do things stand right now, Kevin Acey?
So Robbie Erlen gets blown up by the Dodgers. I don't think that before that, Robbie Erlen was really a candidate for this rotation because of how well he did in the bullpen, how excited they are when they talk about having that sort of, like, you know, swing guy in the bullpen. And he just really was very good there. So that's where I think he'll start. Now, that said, he's going to make some starts this year because, you know, we're all focused on the beginning of the season rotation, and every team is going to use 8, 12, or more starters, and that's even good teams. So, you know, we haven't seen the last of Robbie Erlin starting, but I don't think last night really made a huge difference, mm-hmm. as bad as it was. Logan Allen, here's a guy who I think this is who Andy Green is talking about when Andy Green says, you know, all we can go on with these young guys is spring results. And but then in the next breath, he says, but, you know, these guys have really done it in the minors, and we look at their presence on the mound. We look at their stuff. We look at what they've done in the minors. Well, that's Logan Allen. The guy has presence. He's got stuff, and he was really good in the minors. Why is that important? Well, because that's the only kind of pitcher they have right now.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, I think
not a
Logan
lot of starts on the big league level. I mean, I think isn't Erlin the guy with the most, and he has like 37 or 35 or something?
37.
Yeah.
And all of Joey Lucchese's 26, of course, came last year. Eric Lauer, 23 last year. And then we're talking about Matt Strom, who has 8, but we all know that 5 of those were really glorified beginning of the game relief appearances.
Sure.
And the rest is rookies.
Yeah.
So I think Chris Paddock is in the rotation. It is amazing how good he is. And then how much this team has turned the front office, personnel people, the coaches, how much they've turned the page of where they're going to let on any excitement about young guys. When they talk about Chris Paddock, you would think he had gone out and given up 4 runs every time. It's like it's either they're completely bored or they kind of nitpick at these guys, because that's they flipped it to, no, look, this is just spring training. We need to see this kid do it. Well, they're going to see him do it in the majors. He's going to start the season with the Padres. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Tell me what you think, Jay. Otherwise, what was spring training for? This kid has been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you go into it with the idea of he's probably not going to be good enough to start the season here. But what if, you know, you have to look at it. What if he is good enough? And so far, he looks pretty good. I mean, he had a couple of I thought the one guy I was able to see some of the outing the other night. The one guy that kind of had him down a little bit was Jonathan Lucroy, the veteran catcher. He fouled off a lot of pitches, made solid contact. But you're talking like one guy. And there were a couple, you know, hard hit foul balls here and there. There were a couple long fly balls on a windy
way up front on his changeup.
Right, on a windy night. But at this point, I'm not sure what benefit there is in someone like Paddock. He's going to pitch innings anyway, so if you're talking about an innings limit, you know, maybe it's not quite as stressful at El Paso as it is, obviously, up here. But it just makes sense that, you know, unless something goes wrong and with one more start in the spring and he just shows something where he's just not ready, he looks like a guy who can pitch in the big leagues. And, you know, at this point, I don't see any reason not to include him. And you're going to be able to, you know, monitor his innings, and I wouldn't think we'd see him for more than 5 or, you know, probably 4, 5, 6 in just about every start. And taking extra time off. But let's see what happens. I mean, as we've always said, these things have a way of working themselves out. And, you know, Paddock at some point is going to need a rest to limit the innings. So you rest him. I mean, whenever that comes. But if he's pitching well right now, why not let him try to win you some games? I think that's the idea. One thing I will say is I don't think I would not pitch him on opening day. I don't think that's I would not add that to a rookie making his debut and everything. Pitch him Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever it might be. But I think the opening day just adds too much to it. Put someone out there like Lucchese, who's you know, got experience. He pitched the second game of the year last year. Of course, it wasn't the opener, but still, he's been around the big leagues for a full year. Let him go out there and pitch the first game, and save Paddock for a little bit later in the weekend. But it seems like Lucchese, Lauer, assuming he's okay, since we haven't seen much of him, Matt Strom, Paddock, and then it's just kind of up in the air. I know we're going to see Cal Quantrill tomorrow, correct?
Who pitched 3 scoreless his last time out. The time before that, I think there was a run. He gave up a solo shot, I believe, but looked a lot better. His velocity's back up. So both him and Logan Allen, it's a split squad tomorrow, both he and Logan Allen start. I think that we're talking about Jacob Nix, Logan Allen, Cal Quantrill. But also, there's the makeup. You thought there's going to be innings limits on Paddock. There's going to be innings limits on Strom.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a deep and varied bullpen. Robert Staal can go 2-3 at a time. You put Robbie Erlin back there. Maybe you put Brian Mitchell back there. Maybe it's
Perdomo.
Wait,
did you just say Brian Mitchell?
Maybe you put Brian Mitchell back there, especially at the beginning.
Oh, I agree. No, I agree.
This team might have 15 or 16 guys make starts this year. And I didn't say Brian Mitchell to start, but I think he's there for that. You know, maybe that day you get a rain out, and then all of a sudden, I don't know. You know, you've got that cushion there. You need that when you already know that at least two of your starters coming in, due to any buildup that they have not had because of injuries in the past, they're going to be limited. Plus, you know, but I watched Joey Lucchesi today. He has looked amazing this spring. His results have been good. And then today, in this wonderful view you get right when you're behind the backstop in a B game, this stuff was popping. But as usual, it wasn't finding the strike zone all the time. In the first inning, Joey Lucchesi struck out three and walked two and was up over 30 pitches.
Right.
That was a classic Joey Lucchesi first or second inning, because where no damage on the scoreboard, but you now know he's not going more than five innings.
And that and that was what happened last year with both him and Lauer. And so, I mean, that's, you know, that's why you have a bullpen. That's why you have two or three guys in the bullpen that can extend for a couple innings. And I think when we look at this pitching staff and try to figure out how good this team is going to be, that's the biggest problem, is that it's not a traditional pitching staff where you can count on guys, even in today's day and age where guys don't go deep into games anyway. The Padres are going to go less deep into games than probably most teams, and so it makes it a little hard to evaluate where all this is. But hey, if you can get a guy to go out there, pitch five innings, give up two runs, you're in the ball game, and then you think you've got a lot of the bullpen looks pretty good. They've got a lot of relievers who can come in and go an inning here, two innings there, and now you're in the game, and you hope that with an improved offense, that instead of losing some of these games, 2-1, 3-2, now maybe you're winning a game 4-3, 4-2, something like that.
7-5.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Lauer, Lucchesi need to make the next step and give them 6 or 7 every once in a while. You still look, even in this day and age, and the quality start, the 6 innings, 3 unearned runs or less, is still a staple of playoff teams. Your bullpen, as good as the Padres bullpen has been, they get worn down. So, yeah, it's fascinating. So we covered that day, the first fascinating thing. I think we got time for one more. Catcher. Jay, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Everyone's got one.
Well, I mean, I think the obvious thing is they have two major league catchers on their team. That's a problem because you only get to use one of them in a game at the same time when you don't have a designated hitter. You're around it. Austin Hedges is a tremendous defensive catcher. His offense leaves something to be desired, like the first part of his career. But did we see the real Austin Hedges the second half of last year? And, is that something the Padres can count on? Because if you can, that's a guy that you're looking at as a potential legitimate all-star, not a all-star that made it because you have to have a guy on each team.
Not just an American League catcher all-star?
Right, right.
He's a legitimate catcher all-star?
But a legitimate all-star catcher. But if he can't hit, there's going to come a point where, all the defense in the world might not make up for the fact that he can't hit, and you have a guy like Mejia behind him who looks like he really can hit but needs work on his defense. So,
that's just reality, what you just said.
Right.
Absolutely.
So you're around it. It seems only fair that Austin Hedges gets the first shot, but do they keep Mejia up to only, pinch hit and bat? And you can't even really pinch hit him if he's your only backup catcher. So do you keep him up and he plays once or twice a week? Or does he go down to El Paso and you keep Chris Stewart up, and then Mejia, you've got him available if Hedges does show that he's more the first half Austin Hedges than the second half Austin Hedges?
So plays twice a week and you can't pinch hit him, so you're giving away a bench spot when you're going to need to have a deeper bullpen, right?
Right.
Because of
right.
the staff we're talking about, right? At least, I haven't broken it down too much in terms of the schedule, but they're not all as friendly as April. You're going to have times where you've got 12 and 15 games in a row. So I just don't see giving away that spot. Now, one thing that Andy Green mentioned, maybe it was a little a geek to throw me off, but Rod Barajas is up here, so the guy's a catching genius and he did it forever, and so for the first time they're gonna have like a catching coach up here,
right.
So he plays twice a week, Francisco Mejia does, and he gets Rod Barajas, and I will tell you that Austin Hedges, to his credit, has helped Francisco Mejia a lot in terms of the handling of pitching staff, communication, and defensively, working on that stuff. I still don't think it makes sense, and I know that the Padres didn't think it made sense, and that maybe that, like, his bat, him showing what he has in the spring, has started to have them convince themselves that maybe that makes sense, but I believe that they will come back to, if they ever left it, where they were at the beginning of the spring, which is Francisco Mejia, to be everything he can be, needs to catch every day. And Austin Hedges deserves to show that second half Austin Hedges is the real Austin Hedges, because it cannot be overstated with any pitching staff, let alone one that the oldest player is going to be 27 and he's got 8 starts. And the rest are, there's an average age, even with Matt Strom, of 24 in this rotation. That Austin Hedges' value, I mean, I honestly can't put it into words, and it's not because I'm not a good writer. It's because Austin Hedges is invaluable.
Right. Well, and you are going to put that in words in a Sunday story. So
I am.
We will
might as well start with, "Dear Austin, I love you." this story. No, I support it with quotes of many other men who love him. But this story is hopefully going to get across the value that Austin Hedges brings.
Right. I mean, because I think that's something that, you hear about. Austin Hedges does the great job with the pitching staff. What exactly does that mean? Stuff with pitch. I don't want to get into pitch framing and everything. To me, pitch framing is just a way to take advantage of crummy umpires. And of course, there are almost every umpire is crummy, so it's a valuable thing to be able to have.
Yeah.
But if they ever get smart and go to robo umps for strikes, that's going to take that away in terms of pitch framing, which they can't do soon enough, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, that's another story. Let's talk real quick about the outfield. 5 outfielders, 3 spots. Where do things stand at this point? Is Manny Margot going to be a starter or not?
Yeah, Manny Margot will be a regular player. I do believe there's great value in, obviously, his defense and if he can get on base. Now, Will Myers, he's not the chump that I think that he used to be in center field. And his bat, and it's very intriguing to have a left-to-right Renfro-Myers-Reyes outfield. Now, what that could leave you open to defensively, well, that could be a problem, but you also have Manny on the bench, so you've got a close game, or late, and Manny Margot goes in, and you move Reyes out, and Renfro to right, Myers to left, and you're just fine. So a little bit like the starting rotation, where we're so focused on the first 5, right? Well, so 4 outfielders play a lot. I think that, that's okay if everyone stays healthy for 162 games. I still think 4 outfielders, 3 spots is just fine. The real question is Francy Cordero going to make this team, or is he going to be sent back to AAA? And Jose Pirella be like your true 25th man, because he spent all spring working at the infield, has had another really good spring at the plate, and now he's exclusively in the outfield.
I think just the fact that you mentioned Brian Mitchell and Jose Pirella on the same podcast,
I'm sorry,
is just enough to get your friends on Padre Twitter all a Twitter over this, because I'm not sure which one they can't stand more. But I know what you mean. If Cordero's not going to play a whole lot, then does it make any sense to have him here as an extra guy? That was my question while you were talking about all those guys, was going to be, okay, what about Cordero? Obviously losing Jankowski is a big blow, because he was a guy who could fill a lot of those roles. And I'm not going to put Pirella in that category, obviously, but at least he gives you a backup in a couple of different positions. A couple years ago, he wasn't a bad hitter. And I know that was a reason that he was still around last year. It was kind of like, well, geez, we saw this guy a year ago and he hit pretty well. Why can't he do that again? And this spring, it looks like he's hit the ball better than he did a year ago, for whatever that's worth.
player. I want to reiterate.
Yes.
I just said 25th player. I'm talking about 200 plate appearances tops. And I'm, you know, and by the way, like I could go through and find a whole bunch of guys on teams that won World Series rings that had a Jose Perella on there, and the guy helped them win a couple games. So look, it was ridiculous. It is awesome for Padres and Padres fans that Jose Perella has gone from being starter to possibly 25th man. That's fantastic.
Right, I agree. That's something that should be looked at as a good thing that the roster has gotten better. And
it's not Jose Perella's fault that he was starting for the Padres.
Right.
At that point.
Well, that was like Amarista. When Amarista was here, he wasn't putting himself in the lineup. You know, people, it was like, okay, we don't have a better choice right now. So anyway, we don't want to get going on that tangent.
We already did.
I know you have writing to do and I have work to do, and we will get this. So we will conclude the podcast here, and we will come back, I guess, just one more time from Peoria, right? Next week.
Yeah. Peoria. Oh my goodness. Oh, don't make me sad, Jay. I'm going to miss Peoria.
Just make sure I get my security deposit back.
it's all good. We're in good hands this year. I will say it's so great that it's warming up. This has been super cold. I understand it's warming up back there too.
Yeah.
The rain has left.
It has. Right. It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend, so enjoy yours in the desert, and everyone else can enjoy theirs, and we will talk to everyone next week.
Right on. Thank you.